Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another Big Gay Date. My name is Dave Mosley.
My name is Carl Skeens.
And tonight we are enjoying the 2004...
Classic?
If you're a chick, yeah. Nicholas Sparks, The Notebook?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not Nicholas Sparks directed it, but based on the best-selling book, the director, I can't pronounce his name, doesn't have much else to his filmography, if I'm being honest.
It's better than A Walk to Remember.
What's that one?
The other one that Nicholas Sparks wrote, the Mandy Moore one. And then there's that.
You say the other one, but there's like the time traveler's wife is him as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, and then there's the one with the dude from Las Vegas where his dead wife is like trying to hook him up with some. It's fucking crazy.
There's. I don't fucking know. Yes, yeah, so anyway, The Notebook. The most cliched chick flick, I think, of the last 20 years. Basically, if you're a 13-year-old kid right now, it's because of this movie.
Yep, that's entirely true.
This is Netflix and chill back when Netflix was the discs you got in the mail.
Oh, yeah. If you had a young lady coming over, you would watch The Notebook, and Ryan Gosling would seal the deal for you.
He's your wingman by proxy, by digital proxy.
I don't think Ryan Gosling understands
how many blowjobs he's responsible for.
yeah. How many people owe him so much?
And I gotta say, I don't get it. I don't see it at this movie. I've seen it a grand total of one time, and it was because a girl I was seeing at the time made me watch it.
Did you still live in the UK?
I lived in the UK, but I was visiting her in Belgium at the time.
Oh, okay. So that's still...
But she was an American, not expat, army brat, I guess, you know, kind of moving around different countries and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So she was an American girl. So, of course, it was kind of like this was her jam in 2004.
Yeah.
But I don't get it.
Well, I've got like family in Charleston and stuff. Like this is South Carolina. Like this is mm-hmm. This is what it looks like. And
this
so,
is your backyard.
Yeah. And so like it always... It felt different, you know? I can't imagine you being forced to watch The Notebook and it's in like fucking Belgium.
Yeah, I can't relate to this movie at all. Like, I don't get it, how everyone kind of views it as such a romantic movie or anything. Like the grand takeaway I took from the movie is that, you know, her parents keep her separated and all that kind of shit, but... It's like she's engaged to this guy, and then she goes off and fucks Ryan Gosling. Like, that was my takeaway from the movie. I'm like, why am I rooting for her? Like,
yeah.
She's playing away, you know?
Kind of a homewrecker.
Yeah. I don't know.
And Ryan Gosling doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Doesn't care.
He just wants to get some. But you say you like this movie, right?
Bro, I was that age bracket.
Do you like it because it's a solid film? Do you like it for the storytelling, or do you like it because of how much action it got you? How old were you in 2004?
17.
Okay.
Just old enough to be that prime age bracket.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean... Maybe both. Maybe a little more one than the other, but maybe a lot more one than the other.
We'll find out. After watching this movie at the end, you tell me if it... tell me if you want me to fuck you, and then we'll see how good it is. We are... we were going to have a big gay wine night, just because it just seemed like the kind of thing to do for this movie. I realize now I was drinking wine last week for Beauty and the Beast. That's because it was a French movie, and I'm drinking wine this week because it just seems like the kind of... chick flick thing to do. I mean, it's either we drink wine or I just sit here with a bucket of Haagen-Dazs, you know. But somebody had to go extracurricular last night and drink all this wine. So what are you drinking tonight?
Tonight I am drinking tequila. I'm now on a bottle of Camarena tequila with cranberry raspberry juice.
To take the hit off.
Yeah. With ice.
And you know it's going to be a good time if you're drinking tequila more than just our usual shot that we do.
Yeah, well, I've been trying to get rid of this bottle for months.
Okay.
And now I finally have...
That tiny bottle right there? Like the miniature bar style thing?
I've been sitting on like four of these.
Okay.
And just... I hate tequila, man.
Yeah, I feel you.
I brought a bottle. I kept trying to bring a bottle over to you, and we kept just not doing it because we both hate it.
Well, I'm drinking Liberty Creek Moscato, which is the best wine $7 will get you in a Walgreens. It's all right so far. It's a good sweet wine, so that's going to make it pretty easy to go down through this movie, 2 hours.
So, this movie is going to make it pretty easy to go
Oh, behave. So, the one thing I did do a little research quickly before the movie started, but the one thing I remembered reading about back when I first read about this movie is that this stuff was shot last. So the movie's kind of shot out of sequence, which is why their chemistry is a little bit better at the beginning here. Like, they're the kind of the young sweethearts, kind of like they have that instant connection and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the later scenes, when they kind of reconnect after a long time, they are kind of awkward around each other, which is a good way to kind of do it, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Also, because this was shot last, he looks so much more ripped in the... Not ripped, but, you know, better looking, more buff and everything, because he's doing all of his furniture making and shit.
Yeah.
So he had to go away for, like, 2 months or something, whatever it is, and lose 20 pounds, which... I mean,
I bet you Christian Bale would just fucking do it.
He'd do it. He'd be like, I'll see you Monday.
Yeah.
And just be 20 pounds lighter. Yeah. These kids, they just don't have the commitment.
Yeah, absolutely not.
You know?
This doesn't seem safe.
Are the bars? No. Oh, and this? Yeah, this is like, just throw him off from the top.
Oh.
I love that this guy's on a first name basis with the carnies.
Oh, yeah. Wait, are you judging him for knowing the carnies? You know fucking carnies. What are you doing?
Just wanted to see how long it would take you.
I don't like that guy's facial hair.
It's throwing me off a little bit. He is. He looks like he's going to... he's going back to... His family owned people, you can tell. And absolutely. Not that long ago, either.
Yeah, yeah.
From when this movie is set. And that guy looks like a sad, skinny Sean Astin, but I know it's not.
Yeah. A sad, skinny... Is Sean Astin not sad?
Well, I guess he's got those sad eyes.
Yeah.
She's going to give him a blowjob right here. Give it a second. He'll show you how cocky he can be.
But now she's totally, like, got his ankles isolated. What if he needs to use his feet to, safely climb down?
Well, yeah. He needs to, like, wrap his legs around the bars and shit. Was Ryan Gosling known for anything before this?
No.
Was Rachel McAdams known for anything before this? Was Mean Girls? Mean Girls was before this. Oh, is she in that?
Yeah.
Yeah, she is. She's Regina George, right? So I think Mean Girls was either the same year or... Oh, fuck, I don't know. Let's find out.
Oh, wait. She's the bitch?
She's the bitch, yeah.
Wow. How have I never put two and two together?
Oh.
I thought Mean Girls was after this.
I'll find out for you.
Okay.
Because I know I didn't know Ryan Gosling from anything else. No, same year, 2004. Yeah.
Wow. She looks like a totally different person. It's like she's acting. Oh.
When the director cast Noah, he picked Ryan Gosling because he wanted somebody who was not attractive. And Ryan Gosling's like, all right, hold my beer.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how many times has he been, like, sexiest man now?
Yeah, right? I'm pretty sure the fact that he was in this movie all of a sudden made him attractive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like...
It's not the man, it's the movie, I think.
Yeah, I mean, well...
I mean, he definitely after this movie, because he disappeared, I was going to say that as well, he disappeared for a while, I think. Like, he did this movie, and I don't think he really did much else after this until there was that movie, I'm going to fucking look up his film, because I didn't hear from him again for like another like 5 or 6 years. I know he was doing shit, but nothing. It was like Drive. I think that's where he kind of like popped back up again on my radar.
Yeah. Drive was good. Drive was I like the Drive soundtrack.
Drive and The Place Beyond the Pines. That's when he kind of actually... Oh, The Ides of March, actually. That was with George Clooney as well.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of stuff between The Notebook and that was very... I mean, yeah, he just wasn't blowing up the way you would expect somebody in a movie of this, you know, zeitgeisty kind of feel to do. And then, yeah, since then, like, yeah, Drive, Place Beyond the Pines... The Big Short, The Nice Guys, La La Land, obviously this year, new Blade Runner coming out. Yeah, he's definitely been working pretty good in the last few years. And he has not, like, you know, Ugly Duckling to Swan or
well,
Ugly
before
Gosling
this,
to Swan.
Yeah, I mean, he got Ryan Gosling because it was an unattractive guy. Being told, hey, you look like Ryan Gosling would not have been a compliment before that. After this movie, all of a sudden...
That's the bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And nothing
and I
changed
if,
about him.
I wonder if reading that little bit of trivia made him want to go out and actually kind of get better looking, like, in the future.
But I don't really think he's changed all that much.
I mean, I'll have to kind of see in the next part, like, when he's actually worked out for a bit. And
well,
stuff, you know?
Facial hair adds, like, years onto anybody.
That is true.
You know? I see any... Like, I've seen pictures of you without facial hair.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the last time I actually saw you. I don't think I've ever seen you without some sort of facial hair.
It was 3 months ago.
Really?
I shaved for my
entirely.
Birthday. Yeah, I shaved for
you
my birthday.
See? That's how much I pay attention.
Did you not notice?
No.
Shaved while you were here, man.
Clearly, you don't have a very weak chin because I would have made fun of it.
Yeah, I shaved. I went into the bathroom for like 5 minutes. I shaved. I came out without a beard. And you didn't. Then you drove me to Oh Shucks for my birthday. You don't remember that?
No. I don't.
We did a whole
I remember
big
driving
day,
you to
man.
Oh Shucks, but I don't remember you shaving.
Man. I was wondering why. I was like, this is real polite for you for not saying anything stupid about my face. And now you just.
No, I just
God, well, heaven forbid a girl asks you what you think of her hair or something.
Bro, it all makes sense now, does it not? I was looking right at you and missed it. God, I miss haircuts and birthdays, something fierce.
Oh, man. So, this is going to be the call show this week, I think, because you've been up to a lot in the last time. So since we last recorded, you went up on a road trip.
Yeah, I drove up to New York City with a friend of mine to go stay with another magician in Brooklyn and his wife and go see Darren Brown do his last American show on Sunday and see Derek Delgadio do his show called In and of Itself that just got extended another 6 months because it's that awesome.
Now we talked about Darren Brown a lot, but just you are friends with Derek, right?
Derek, yeah. I've known Derek. Derek actually came and stayed at my house for a little bit back when I lived in Atlantic City because he was doing magic shows in the same theater I was, and he was awesome and he was really good. But then I saw his one-man show in Union Square in New York City, directed by Frank Oz, produced by Neil Patrick Harris, music by Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo, and I cried.
That's the show you just went to see?
Yes.
I didn't know if NPH fucking produced it and shit.
Yeah, well, he directed the last one.
Oh,
so
shit.
This time, he was the president of the Academy of Magical Arts out of Magic Castle. NPH really, really appreciates good magic, and he... As long as Derek wants to pump out shit, NPH will produce it because he knows Derek just wants to make good art.
That's awesome, man. I didn't know you had such good caliber. I thought, like, Darren Brown going to see that was, like, your celebrity
thing. But. It was the thing I was looking forward to. And I saw Derek's show on Saturday and Darren's show on Sunday. Darren's show on Sunday was amazing. It was really good. But I've got 20 years of watching Darren Brown on TV. I would not expect anything less from him.
Gotcha.
It was mind blowing. It, like everything that he does, it was so well orchestrated, and so much stuff behind the scenes that only magicians would notice was going on the whole time to set up things hours later, and it was great.
It
was a religious experience.
Going to see Darren Brown is like going to see the latest Marvel movie or the new Star Wars. Like, you know it's going to be a great time, and you leave very satisfied.
Yeah, he's at the top of his game. You are watching a master at work, and watching a master at work in any field is always, like, mesmerizing. But
then going to see Derek's show is where you go and you hear buzz about a movie, and it really sneaks up on you, and it's like...
And nobody can tell you anything about it. They're intentionally super vague in all the press for it. They just say it's a show about identity and identity and self identity and where and your feelings and in and of itself it's a very peculiar thing to try and describe. And I went and. Every 10 minutes in the show, people are bawling. He got multiple standing ovations at the end. It was the most magical thing. I grew up watching David Copperfield fly on stage. I saw Mark Kalin make an entire like curtain system from a proscenium arch vanish into his little doctor bag. And that shit was magical. But... God damn it, the most magical thing I've ever seen in my life was Derek Delgadio's show in New York City. It now takes the cake. And
it just got extended, you say?
Extended till every show he's done. The last like three shows, the last two shows, and this one would be the third that he's done, have gotten everything he's written always gets like extended and ends up like getting taken somewhere else. And so I feel like he understands what is needed to supply theater of this caliber and either do it right or don't do it at all. I feel like with every show getting extended, when he was writing this show, once you do performance number one and see the response, there's no way he didn't know that I know that would not be like a humble thing to say about yourself, but God damn it, the show's so good. There's no way he didn't know he was going to end up being there for almost a year.
Right.
Like, the show played in L.A. for months, got extended, played for way longer, it finished, and then it immediately got moved to New York City for, like, a really short run, and he's already been there for, like, 3 or 4 months, and now he just, for real, you went for a month and a half, and now you're there for at least 10? It was good, man. It was really good. And then Daniel Radcliffe showed up to the show last night, and I'm like, damn it, I should have went this week.
I didn't know Frank Oz directed it, though. That's really cool.
Yeah, and Frank Oz is not even a magic fan. He's not into magic show. He apparently, when Derek and Frank Oz have been friends for a few years. And apparently Derek hit him up and asked him if he would direct, and Frank Oz said no, because he had no interest in directing a...
For somebody who doesn't know kind of what that kind of show would entail, it does sound like something... It's a hard pitch. Can you direct my magic show for me?
Yeah.
It's a hard pitch if you're not kind of familiar with what you can do with that canvas.
Yeah, apparently Derek flew out to New York and met up with Frank... went to his apartment and
pleaded with him, like
pitched
him.
Like sat him down on the couch and literally told him the whole like story of what he had. And Frank Oz looked at him and is like, all right, you got like a leg over here and like a an arm over here, and I'm pretty sure that's an ear. I like what you're doing, but yeah, I'll totally do it because you don't have the sinew to hold it all together. You right now, this is not a living, breathing thing, and if this is going to play, it has to be
sure
a living, like breathing thing. And right now, you got body parts, and that's actually a really, really good like assessment of something like that, you know. And also, Derek's not acting. Mm-hmm. Frank says that he told Derek, if you act, I'm leaving. Like, no act, because this whole thing is like Derek just telling you stories about his life.
Right.
Yo, just to watch someone that doesn't feel like you're watching a one-man show with lines. It feels like you're watching one dude bare his soul about, like, some of the most, some life events that could be not necessarily the most traumatic that you go through, but definitely very like pivotal, influential moments in your life. It was just it was so relatable because it was an hour and a half long, and there was 6 tricks total. If you added all the tricks together, maybe 6 or 7 minutes of magic in an hour and a half show.
Wow.
And me, nor the magician I'm sitting beside, nor the 2 magicians behind me in the audience, gave a shit that we weren't seeing any magic tricks. But yeah, that was great. The trip there should have taken 17 hours. It took 21 on the way up and 25 on the way back because I was riding with Slow Joe. I love my buddy Joe to death, but he is one of my slower friends. Definitely one of the slower ones.
Man, I'd like to go up and see this show now. Sounds pretty cool.
There till December, and $88 a ticket for fucking third row on the side, and it's only with an aisle down the middle. It's only like, I think, 16 to 20 people in each row total.
Sure.
Like, even including the ones on the other side of the
pretty
aisle.
Pretty intimate space, then.
Yeah, used to be a bank. Darren Brown's theater used to be a church. Darren Brown in an old, like...
Is he doing the Miracle show, or is it just the Greatest Hits? Because the last show I could see being, like, the fact
he was
that
he... doing...
If he does it in a converted church, that's something special.
He didn't do Miracle. He did do some things that I've seen him do before. He did some bits that I remember from Something Wicked This Way. The thing with the coin, the lie detector thing.
Yeah.
Instead of involving 6 people, he literally just took one person and did the high points of the long routine from Something Wicked This Way Comes, but now it's like a third as long and you're only using one person, so that's it's more streamlined.
Sure.
Did some classics like that, but It was called Secret. It was written specifically for New York, especially with the big final reveal and the celebrity music video.
Because when I know Ricky Gervais has come over, Ricky Gervais was like huge in the UK, did like loads of stand-up shows and tours, and then he finally did one in New York or something, the one that's been recorded for HBO or whatever. And it's just basically, it's rehashed material from his first 2 or 3 shows, really. Very, very little new material.
But the Americans didn't know.
Yeah, exactly. So is that the kind of similar to Darren Brown's show, where you've seen it all before, just maybe slightly repackaged?
At least somewhere between like half and a third were things that either I hadn't seen or I hadn't seen him do like this. Maybe I saw him
just
do...
enough.
Yeah, I saw a routine years ago of his that might have been like the idea that he eventually made this routine from.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it was still really good. I mean, the gorilla stealing the banana, I did not see any of those coming. any of them.
That's cool, man. I'm glad you had a great time.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was really good.
What did you do besides those 2 shows?
I did New York City. I did the Pride Parade. We went out and got super wasted a lot. Hung out in Brooklyn's my shit. Went to Lower Manhattan, like Reflecting Pool, all that shit. Walked across the Manhattan Bridge because I'm not a chump. And after passing, like, the 12th, like, scantily clad, like, petite girl who clearly is not worried about her safety because she lives in New York City and can fucking take care of herself. I'm like, oh, I don't know what the fuck I was worried about. Like, why am I not carrying my camera right now? Like, I know there's neighborhoods you should stay out of, but damn. Like, it was definitely safer than I remembered New York City being, because I haven't been back in years.
When's the last time you were there before this? Because I was there in 2012, I think.
Before that.
Okay.
So maybe
slightly before they cleaned it up a little bit or something.
Yeah, maybe 7 or 8. I mean, when Giuliani was mayor,
okay,
he moved a lot of the most of the lower income housing out towards the, like, perimeter of the island.
Okay.
Which didn't help because Manhattan's still kind of a shithole.
Right.
the guy that I was staying with works in the financial district.
Very nice.
And he was telling me about how the guy in the office directly above his jumped out of the window at work.
Mm.
And he just watched this dude sail down, and now there are, like, people offering counseling to all the employees that work on that side of the building.
Just on that side. So if you heard about it, then you don't you don't get shit.
Yeah, but it was really cool. It was needed. I came back, and I was motivated, and will unfairly judge every live show from here on out against that.
That's fair. Because that's the risk. Sometimes you see something that's so good, and you think, like, it makes you be like, fuck, man, there's no point in even trying anymore. Mm-hmm. But
oh, part of me feels like that. But then the other part's like, if that's what it can be,
right,
then I need to be a performer activist, just helping people do not shitty shows.
Uh-huh.
Like, it doesn't even have to be my show. I what can I do to help you make good art? I'm just tired of seeing shitty magic.
That guy's mustache is something fantastical right there.
Oh, yeah. He looks like he goes on safari and carries a blunderbuss.
You don't see mustaches like that anymore.
Mm-mm.
And if you do, it just comes off as a bit pretentious. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I see mustaches like that on hipsters and carnies.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them feel equally pretentious.
Yeah. You don't see anybody rocking it with any sincerity anymore.
Yeah. And nobody rocks Little Chaplin stash. Somebody'll bring it back. The first one to bring it back is gonna
I mean,
the moment you can wear it and not immediately look like Hitler,
yeah,
that's the guy.
Yeah. You just gotta update it, maybe.
But then it just...
I don't know how you could update the Hitler to be
without turning,
like,
into another mustache.
Yeah, like, it's got to be still recognizable as a Hitler, but in, like, a cool enough way where you can give it a pass, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if that's the mustache itself or something it's dressed up with.
Can you invert the angles on the mustache so it's almost like somebody just turned them... Oh, wait, no, but it's...
No, it's a
totally
square, yeah.
Could you
do, like, a triangle, like a rectangle, you mean? Or a circle. A circle is what's needed.
Wow, yeah, maybe.
Or a crescent moon, I don't know.
Okay, so this marsh that he's in Charleston, you get the pluff mud. Hidden in that water are these little, like, pluff mud, like sandbanks or whatever. Yeah, if you're kayaking and you're not paying attention, a lot of times you'll just be kayaking through the water and all of a sudden you'll stop because you've run aground on one of those.
All right.
Now, a lot of people wear those little, like, the buckle or, like, Velcro, like, reefs when you're kayaking because you got to wear something, you know, that won't fall off if you're swimming. But you step off into the pluff mud, and the pluff mud is so fucking sticky, it eats your shoes, and now you're barefoot walking on oyster shells, and then you're bleeding, kayaking. When he's boating around in South Carolina, bro... they're only showing the good parts.
Right. It's like hell to film.
Yeah. And also, if, like, the wind changes, you're going to have a bad day out there.
This is a really cool old creepy house. I do like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame they're about to ruin it by fucking...
Yeah.
Although if a masked killer walked up behind them, like, be way more into this movie at this point.
Uh-huh.
We have not gone over, by the way, favorite points of this movie.
I'm not going to say when he basically just grabs an unwilling girl in the rain.
I was going to say that that's the most memorable part as well.
And yeah, like I know she.
All the girls are like, "Oh my god, he's so passionate," but like subjectively, you've got to be like,
yeah,
it's a bit rapey. And also, you have a fiance. Like nobody's a saint here.
yeah, you can't just.
Yeah, but I do not remember much about this movie, so I don't know what the part I can pick. So that was going to be my point, my choice. If it gives you an out for not having to pick that one,
but then did we already get the? Yeah, we already got. If I'm a bird, you're a bird. If you're a bird, I'm a bird. Right?
What?
Over the beach earlier.
Oh, is that an actual discussion they had? Man, Nicholas Sparks, stay rich, man. I was not paying attention to that at all, but it does sound like something that... It sounds like a line of dialogue in a movie that chicks would get wet over,
I'm
honestly.
A bird! Well, if you're a bird, I'm a bird.
Yeah, I just imagine chicks be like, oh, take me now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the fuck am I reading here? What is this shit? All right, so I'll pick the when he sticks it to her for the second time, like 10 years later or whatever it is.
Okay.
Biggest dry spell.
Yeah.
We could do yours now when he sticks it to her for the first time.
Sure, that's fine. We'll just do it.
If you can you think of anything else?
No, I'll take that. Okay. I just don't want to do the rapey part because I just feel weird.
Taking a celebratory drink for it?
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely the most memorable scene for me, I will say that. Mm-hmm. That's the only scene I remember, because that is, like, you know, all the girls are super happy because it's like they're finally back together. But me, yeah, like I said, it's like, you like this guy, clearly, but tell your fiancé first, and then go and fuck around with him, you know?
Yeah. Really, though, you don't even have to go. All it takes is a fucking phone call.
Mm-hmm.
You Absolutely. Got a car.
Yeah.
Like, if he doesn't have a phone there in the house,
he's
you
waited
got a car.
Like 10 years. He can wait like 30 minutes while you drive and break up with your fiance.
And you know he's got a fucking phone. Mm-hmm. You know, he may say no, but you know he's got one.
That's what they all say.
Uh huh. Oh, no. I don't have a phone. Oh, no. I don't have the key to this door. Click.
So, what is this again? Sorry?
Southern Comfort.
Oh, sweet.
Cheers, broski.
Let's watch these two young lovebirds go at it. Oh, okay, there it is.
Do you feel like a man?
Well, I mean, if you're offering.
Can we watch Django Unchained?
Wait, what? Just the immediate kind of... That's just what you go to watching this movie?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was kind of... You said that I can't really, like, take a celebratory shot when he's, like, being rapey. And then I got to thinking, well, what else could you take shots for that's fucked up? And if we watch Django and took shots anytime someone said anything that's racially insensitive, pretty sure we'd die.
Yeah. Shots or... definitely shots.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it'd have to be mixed shots. They would not just... We would not be able to be taking, like, straight whiskey, because I would die.
Yeah, I'm not I'm not down for that, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this the first time they're fucking or something? Or is it the first time they're fucking with anybody, I wonder?
It looked like that's the first time she's ever seen a penis.
Yeah, like, they are just, like, standing at opposite ends of the room, each taking, like, okay, you go, now you go, now you go, then you go.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how it worked?
I don't think so. Yeah, it never worked like that for me.
Mm-mm.
Is this the 90s? Why was she wearing a puka shell necklace?
She's. This must be, I don't know, 60s or something? Because we got James Garner, who, spoilers, is the same guy later on in 2004, and he looks a lot older, so.
But going by the cars and shit, it's got to be the 40s.
That would work, yeah. That would work. If they're like 20 or something. And then
if this was the 40s, he would be at World War II, correct? Because of the draft. Had to be before that. Because it's too young for the 50s.
Unless he's... I don't know. Would he... I don't know. Let's say he's like 18. Let's say it's like late 40s. Okay. Give him 50 years between...
It could not have been during the war, but that still gives us an extra 5 years.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, he doesn't go off to war in this or anything, does he?
Nope.
Okay.
So that just eliminates a six-year gap. It's either before 39 or after 45, but...
Well, if it was before 39, then he would get drafted.
Ooh.
So it's after, right?
Yeah, it has to be.
It has to be after. Okay. He was too young to do the...
Just do the math. Yeah. Look at you. Look at you.
Don't talk about mum during sex. Mum's the word. Oh, God. Boner killer. That's all you can think about now.
Mum's the word. I've never understood that.
Mm-mm. Like, my mom can't keep a secret. I don't know where that phrase comes from.
Yeah. 1930s. So, yeah, he probably did go off to World War II, and they just ignored that the whole time.
Because that's not romantic.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's nothing romantic about going off and fighting for your country.
I saw Saving Ryan's Private. That shit is not romantic at all. It's just straight up.
It's because Spielberg doesn't know how to do a romantic movie.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever done a romantic movie.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You need a movie about a guy who's got daddy issues, Spielberg's your man, but you need like a... You're not going to see a Nicholas Sparks movie from Steven Spielberg.
No. If you need an everyman reacting to shit, that's the
yeah.
man.
I wonder what Die Hard would have been like if it was Spielberg. Do you think he'd have got much shit done, or do you think he would have just kind of looked and reacted?
I don't think he would have been as badass. Oh, no.
Bum, bum, boom.
God, that's a little overkill.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the police would... I mean, I guess it's because she's a young white girl, but I don't think the police care anymore unless it's been, what, 48 hours or 24 hours?
Yeah.
I don't know what the law is anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they...
That her dad looks a little like Borat. If Borat cleaned up a little bit...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
From that side.
He looks like a portrait of him would go well in Clue.
That's the last time I saw that mustache. Mm-hmm. I realize now. Which I think also was 2004 or 2008.
Clue?
No, like Borat.
Oh, Borat, yeah. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. No, Clue was fucking ages ago, right?
Clue was amazing.
It's okay. I think I missed the train on that. Like, my wife loves that movie because it's got Tim Curry and it's got Christopher Lloyd and Michael McLean, mm-hmm. right? A whole bunch of great actors in that, but definitely not a... movie that I grew up with.
Is he a rapist?
Is he just overhearing this conversation? Like, is he a rapist? And he's just kind of laughing to himself.
Yeah.
It's a real, like, I don't know. You realize, I guess it wasn't a big deal back then.
I mean, yeah. Could be worse. I guess. Now, time to go refill.
Fair play. You ever been in this situation, by the way, when like a girl you're dating or whatever is having a really loud argument with her parents about you in the opposite room? That's a yes if you're coming back, if I can't wait 30 seconds.
Yes, I just make sure they use the word consensual a lot.
Just cover your bases before it even becomes a problem. Is that how you introduce yourself to, like, parents and shit? Mom, Dad, this is Carl. Hi, it was consensual. That's what every mother wants to hear about her daughter. The girl I saw, the girl who made me watch this movie, her parents did not like me at all for whatever reason. And I think I was in a very similar situation. It's not about arguing whether I was a rapist or something, but just like, you know, I was kind of a shithead.
I'm glad you being a rapist isn't something that comes up often.
No, I mean, we're all on the same page about that. And what page that is, I won't mention. But the arguments that would happen would like, yeah, all about just how bitch of a shithead I was or something, you know, or for whatever reason. And it's a really awkward time. Like, I was not like kind of giggling about it in the other room or whatever, I think I was upstairs in her room, but you could hear it traveling through the house and shit. It's like, oh, this is fine.
Yeah.
You never been in a situation?
Oh no, I've been in that. When I was younger, like way younger, I remember we were in high school, and me and the girl I was dating had skipped school. And she was able to skip school because she faked being sick or whatever. But the parents were gone all day. Her dad, like, ran some Bass Pro Shops or some shit. So they're gone. So I come over. I'm laying there in the bed, chilling. I've already been there for, like, hours. It's, like, noon. And all of a sudden, we hear the garage door open. And I don't move. It's just, like, I put the blanket over me. And it's this big, fluffy blanket, you know? And she's like, they may not come in here. And all of a sudden, the bedroom door opens, and it's her dad. But I'm covered in this comforter, and it's this big, fluffy comforter, and he doesn't notice I'm there.
Pulled off the classic, like, teen movie heist.
Yeah, so then he's just talking to her. He's like, how are you feeling? You know, make sure that stupid boy doesn't come over here. It was the only
time. That's when you get a boner and the blanket rises ever so slightly.
It's the only time in my life a situation like that has played out exactly like they do in the movies. Every other time, it always ends badly. But yeah, it was pretty fun. It was definitely a crowning achievement.
Like, I watch those scenes and I'm like, that's so unrealistic. But you're like, first-hand experience. Like, no, it can happen.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I can hide under a duvet.
It's got to be a big fluffy one, but hell yeah. It's got to be one of those big girly beds, man.
Right.
I'm sure I could have moved around if there were, like, pillows and stuffed animals up there, but...
Fucking hiding in the pile of stuffed animals like E.T. Does that work like it does in the movies, I wonder?
I don't know, but I bet you it would.
Or the Wet Bandits and Home Alone 2. Like, that's something I'd like to see you try.
Yeah, bro.
Not everything works like in the movies, I guess.
Yeah. She's so angry.
It's a good job he owns a piece of shit truck, I guess.
Wait, we're not really breaking up, right? I get you, girl. I get you.
Oh, dear. So, I'm going to say something controversial.
Okay.
Alzheimer's, the positive side to it. You get to hear lots of cool new stories.
I mean, for the person that has Alzheimer's, but yeah, for all of your loved ones, you listen to the same story.
Then
you start
telling the same
again.
Fucking stories again and again. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't wish I had Alzheimer's, but, you know, if I got it, well, for one, I wouldn't know, but for two, I guess, you know, the positive would be I'd get to relive all these awesome movies again for the first time, like, find out the twist ending to Sixth Sense and shit,
mm-hmm.
You know?
When my grandma, before my grandma died, my grandpa had already died, and he had died a couple years before. Well, my grandma had Alzheimer's and shit, and she would be talking about how she had plans to go out with Levi that night. And Levi was my grandpa that had been dead.
Man.
But she would be talking about it like they were going to the dance hall, like it was in the 40s.
All right.
And he had just come back from the war. And there were times towards the end where I would catch her primping herself in the mirror and just, like, talking, like, to me and to, like, family members. But she's talking like it's her from when she was 20. Mm-hmm. And it always, ever since she died, I've always wondered that when she looked in that mirror, did she see herself now, or did she see young her?
Mm.
You know, like that's...
Like
that's
how does that work?
Yeah, that's head. Always been something that's like, that's been like on my mind, like since that happened, you know? Mm. But she was forgetting stuff and then reliving things from like the past. She never forgot me. So that was cool. I mean, I'm pretty sure she forgot everybody else in the family.
I bet the rest of the family hated you.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she forgot everybody else, like, at least once, you know, and had to be, like, reminded. But she always, like, she always remembered me, and that was nice. But, yeah, I know it has to do with, like, your memory, and you forget things, but... Clearly, in that situation, like, I want to know what
there's something
seeing.
Else going on there.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope I don't get Alzheimer's, just because I saw, like, what happens to, like, your kids when they have to watch you do that.
It's a strain, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, I would rather die doing something else or die peacefully in my sleep surrounded by family before I lose my mind.
Mm-hmm. I think we had this conversation on another podcast, like, how would you rather die? How'd we get back here?
Yeah. Existential questions, man. Oh, do you watch Louis?
Mm-mm.
Louis C.K.?
I don't think I've actually tried to yet, but...
We went to the Comedy Cellar in a bunch of different places from the opening credits.
Mm-hmm.
The opening credits of every Louis episode. Yeah, okay. It's him, like, walking to all... Like, going to a pizza joint, just, like, chilling, and then goes to the Comedy Cellar. We went to all those.
That gate he just drove into, apparently he didn't stop in time. Like, it's a great shot, but it was not intended at all to fuck up that gate.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Because that's a nice place.
Yeah.
And now you don't have a gate no more.
Yeah, if I was the homeowner, I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
What a sick house.
How much does he spend on stamps?
Lot.
Because how many years does he... Okay. That's not cheap.
Uh-uh. Aw.
Like, that's a long time to hold a candle. And sure, that's romantic, but still, I still feel like he's not trying that hard if he's just... I mean... You can send a letter a day for a month, 2 months maybe. At a certain point, you've got to be like, well, this isn't working. What else can I do? Like, if you really wanted to
Does
get in touch.
Does he double up on Mondays or Saturdays?
Because there's no mail on Sunday. Ah.
There was also no mail on Saturdays at this
maybe
point.
Maybe he just writes like a two-parter on Saturday and Sunday, and she gets them both the same day.
Mm-hmm. That was uncalled for. Everybody just standing there. Oh, no. World War II. Okay, that happened.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Fucking clearly. Oh, you're dead. Finn! Oh, man. Oh, that sucks.
And they don't cross paths?
Nah, that's how she meets Cyclops.
Oh, gotcha. Which I completely fucking forgot it was James Marsden.
Mm-hmm. Look at that. Look at her crown. There are so many pornos that start off like that. I bring this leg over. That's not my leg!
Oh, who wouldn't say, who would say no to that face? And yet Ryan Gosling is the one that ends up picking her up and trying to rape her.
Yep.
Telling you, she'd be better off with that guy.
Yeah, bro. James Marsden's pretty.
And he's got that X-Men money now.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Oh, he is. He's looking at all of you. I know you only want me for my looks. So.
Mm-hmm. He bounces a lot. I'm an excellent dancer. Well, I mean, you're passable.
Yeah. I mean, for the 40s. What a douche. Look at that posture.
Hey, bro. Yo, I've ridden fucking horses on the beach in South Carolina. Don't even front. That
shit
is awesome.
No, but did you wear a fucking blazer like that and have one hand on the reins and one hand on your hips?
I did wear gloves, though.
Like, I'm a little teacup on a horse. We're gonna go and have intercourse.
That mic.
We are... Oh, God, we're not even an hour into this thing.
Nope.
Holy fuck.
This is definitely a bad proposal.
Man, this guy's got game.
Yeah.
He's negging on it pretty hard.
Yeah, he could write the book.
He invented the book.
Uh-huh. I don't really like the game or negging or anything like that.
No. I don't know. I've read a little bit about the concept of it, and it does seem kind of backwards to me. I don't get how people respond. Clearly enough, people respond to it to justify a book or whatever, but...
I mean, maybe, but I got buddies of mine that actually, like, believe that shit.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I'll ask them, I'll be like, explain it to me, you know? And they're explaining fucking being mean to people and, like, fucking assault and...
Yeah. Like, if it went the other way, like, if a girl came up to me and started negging on me, I'd be like, well, that's uncalled for.
Yeah, I'd be like, why are you being such a bitch? That's, you know, I don't know why these guys don't expect the girls to reply the same way. Like, why are you such a dick right now? Like, if you, that...
Yeah, I don't get it.
Bro.
What would happen if you did that these days?
You would immediately push his ass off stage before he even got to the mic.
Yeah, like Prince. Like, get the fuck off the stage.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he wouldn't even make it on, like, hopefully the bouncer would be up.
That'd be hilarious. Uh-huh. Guy runs up to the stage and just gets tackled by security.
Yeah, you don't just rush the stage and tell the band to shut the fuck up while I announce that I'm getting married to this girl to this room full of people
that don't
give a shit about either one of us. Like,
yeah. Fuck you. You book the venue, and then you can do whatever you want on the stage.
You're supposed to walk up and slip the DJ $20, like, and ask nicely.
There's an etiquette.
Yeah. That vest's horrible.
No, I rip on Tara for going through this wine so quickly, but it's been an hour, and this is a big. This is a 1.75 liter bottle as well, so it's two bottles of wine basically.
It's Tasty Cakes, man. Mm-hmm. Tasty Cakes.
No, Tasty Cakes is too expensive. I'm too cheap.
I had a shrimp boil today before I came over here, and it was amazing. It was so good, man. Shrimp, the andouille sausage and the corn and the potatoes, and it was so good. So good. Amazing.
I reheated some pizza I ordered yesterday.
Yeah,
I specifically over-ordered pizza so I'd have some to eat today.
Yeah, I was like walking out of the house to come here, and like I walk up to the fridge and just like grab a handful of shrimp and sausage, and oh man,
we are rock stars.
Hey man, adult.
Living the dream.
Charleston. Hey.
See, that other guy's got power. He stopped a whole band from their show. Ryan Gosling can't even stop a bus.
Now, did he not have a bag with him?
Well, shit.
He just came back to Charleston to rebuild your old house with
and
fucking
now you got
what?
Nothing.
Yeah.
You got nothing to start with.
He's got some really big nostrils, though. His nostrils look like half the size of his eyes. Oh, no.
Doesn't he look like he's about to pull out a gun?
I mean...
Those eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that Murders by Numbers movie?
Yeah. One's here.
I wonder how many takes it took to get that one tear out of, like, Baby Gosling.
See, that's such a...
That's
fucking,
weird.
Yeah. That's such a weird way to, like... I mean, I get doing stupid shit for the person you love, then, like, to get their attention. Like, if I do this, then they'll love me. But fucking building a house? Like, I don't know. Well, I don't know. There's that fucking, you know, those people in India or whatever that build, like, those crazy palaces and shit.
Uh-huh.
So I guess this is the North Carolina equivalent of that.
Yeah, South. South. Don't get it twisted.
What's the difference? Educate me, because I really don't know.
There's cooler cities in South Carolina, and South Carolina has better barbecue. North Carolina barbecue is ketchup-based. South Carolina barbecue is mustard-based. There is, like, there have been wars that have been fought over less important bullshit than South Carolina versus North Carolina barbecue.
Which one's the more racist?
I mean, they're both Carolinas. That's...
Fair.
Pretty much anywhere you go in that state, if you get away from forward-thinking cities, you're back in backwoods south. But, I mean, you drive 30 minutes from here in a variety of directions, and you're going to be in racist-ass Florida.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Why don't you just say it out loud? It's only the two of you there.
Yeah.
What are you trying to hide? He's a terrible negotiator.
Ha, 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 ha. at the bottom, his feet are all fucked up. Who's fucking over there so nobody in her town knows? That's why it happens.
Seems to be the running theme of this movie here.
Yeah.
Going behind the backs of other people.
Yeah, it's weird. See, you could have just settled down with her, though. She's a cutie.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck it. Man, clearly Rachel McAdams doesn't want your ass.
Yeah. I don't get the thing about Rachel McAdams either.
Oh, I don't know.
She's very toothy.
She's very toothy. Yeah.
When she smiles, it's like when Jim Carrey's wearing the mask.
With those chiclet teeth?
Yeah.
Bro, she's a redhead. Just go with it.
And what does that mean? I don't get it. Like,
they're a dying breed, bro. Get it while you can.
Oh, okay. It's kind of the thrill of hunting an endangered species, you mean?
I don't know. You are from the Empire. You know what it's like hunting the endangered species.
I wasn't there. Don't blame me for my ancestors' misdeeds. Do I blame you for all the slavery?
Where do you think we got it from? We only had fucking 200 years of like horrible
that is
true. Bullshittery.
That is the American way of just take a good idea and just run with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am being
inflammatory. Y'all are the ones that sent us over here.
I think you'll find you made your way of your own accord. Just doing your own shit. You were like, fuck this place. Let's go do our own thing.
Hey, man.
I'm going to make my own country with blackjack and hookers. In fact, forget the country.
I'm sure India would have something to say about this.
Yeah. She's either really, really high up in the local scene, or it's a really slow news day.
Yeah, it might be both.
It's going to take a really long time to fill up that bathtub if you're trying to drown yourself, love. If you keep doing it like that.
Yeah, and she's got to sink a little bit lower.
Yeah.
I've never understood bathtubs like that where one side is higher than the other because you can never fill it to the top.
But at least you get a backrest for your head.
Yeah, or just be a man and get a tub that's big enough that regardless you get a backrest for your head.
But then you're like, I don't know, then you might feel kind of walled off, you know?
Do you want a tub that's 100% or do you want a tub that's like 75% of the size?
I want to shower like a man.
Oh, fair. That's fair.
Why are we arguing about this? When are we ever going to buy a bathtub between us?
So when I stayed in my buddy's house in Brooklyn, he's got like a little light like you do, but he also has a bidet.
Okay.
And he was explaining to me how, like, bro, he's like, my girl got this bidet. He's like, and I'll never go back. He was telling me how, like, he'll come home from work, you know, and, like, late that night before he goes to bed, he'll sit in the bathroom,
mm-hmm.
and he'll use the bidet while he's got his cell phone and his YouTube videos in one hand and, like, a bowl in the other. So he's getting really high and getting, like, a watery rim job. He was telling me how it's, like, the greatest feeling in the world. And I'm like, well, now that I'm picturing you naked on it with a bowl and a cell phone in your hands with your legs spread and water hitting your asshole, I don't want to use it. I mean, you sold me on the wonders of a bidet. I feel like everyone should own one. But now that I know that you aren't just using it to clean your asshole, it feels like a rim job. Now I feel weird using
now
it.
Now I know you're getting off to this shit.
Now that I know
you're not just a cleanliness thing.
Yeah, now that I know your back massager isn't used for back massages, I no longer want to use it for an actual back massage.
It's tainted now.
Yeah. Taint.
I don't think I've ever had a bidet. I think we used to have like... I used to think I know what a bidet was, but actually I think it was like a foot bath kind of thing. Not a foot bath, like a foot sink or something, you know?
It was like a bidet, bro.
I don't know if it was, because it didn't shoot water up. It just was like a tiny toilet, basically.
Uh-huh.
I found out very quickly it was not a tiny toilet.
Yeah. It's got a little bidet addition thing that just sits on your toilet bowl and then has this little... has a little faucet on it that aims down, and then whenever you're like using it, you just hit the button and the faucet goes.
Okay, so yeah, it never did that. It just pointed down. So yeah. The idea was you kind of like you, it's like, you know, like less than knee level, and you put your foot in there and then you just kind of rinse your feet, I guess. I don't know.
Well,
I guess I was fucking bougie as a kid. I don't know.
Maybe. It all depends. I mean, when I was a kid staying at Caesar's Palace, we had a bidet in the room. And I just thought it was the craziest thing that you'd go into the bathroom and there was a toilet and then there was a water fountain toilet that would shoot water up in the air like 3 feet that would still land back in the bowl. And I would just like, why do we have this?
Please tell me you never used it as a water fountain.
No. No, I never used it as a water fountain. That's not the truth.
God,
everybody
just hates the fucking like fencing in this time.
Oh yeah.
Is this why we don't have fences so much these days?
I mean, that was also a really shitty fence.
That's true. I mean, which is interesting because you built a pretty sweet house and you really skimped on the fence.
You know, on film, how like when you're in a movie theater, little black lines or like the cigarette burn will show up. Every now and then on the... When I say cigarette burn, I'm talking with the doop, the little thing that for like the real... Okay, when you're watching an actual movie...
You're doing a terrible fucking job of explaining what you're trying to say,
man. When you're watching a movie in like a movie theater that's actually on film, you know how blown up on the screen... Like that, like those little dots. I'm not seeing those? Okay, cool. I was seeing like the little imperfections that you'll occasionally see, like when you're in the movie theater.
Oh, okay, like little grain spots and dirt and stuff on the film.
And I'm just
sure,
like,
it's not restored and
I only caught one, and I was trying to figure out if that was the tequila or if that really happened. And while I was doing a bad job trying to explain it to you, more popped up.
Okay,
so now
It's definitely. I mean, it's not a flawless, it's not a flawless transfer. I don't think.
Uh huh.
I've definitely seen worse. It's definitely worse with older films because they don't have as high quality negatives to work from and shit. But I mean, still 2004. I mean, yeah, it's a recent film, but this is not a huge budget movie or anything really.
Is James Garner dead or is he still alive?
He died in 2014.
He was in Space Cowboys too.
That's
right?
Exactly the thing I was going to really, say. I knew him from. I only knew him from Space Cowboys before this movie. And I know he's like a fucking renowned actor with a whole bunch of credits under his belt. Definitely much more of an old-timey actor than the
more
recent
stuff.
He was
Maverick, bro.
Yeah, I don't fucking know what that is.
Did you ever see Maverick with Mel Gibson?
I'm familiar with it, yeah. I know the concept and what it's about. So he was the original then.
Yeah, he was the one in the 60s.
Okay, so I get that, yeah.
That's why there's that scene. That's why he's in Maverick.
Is it? Okay.
And then like at the end they get robbed. The shit that he's saying is like... It's super in-jokey and funny if you had any idea that he was in... Gotcha. It's still a good scene, but it's funnier.
Like if, most gratuitous cameos are. It's like you're... If you know what it's about, then...
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I've never seen it or whatever. I know he was... His IMDb picture is him from like the 50s and 60s, you know, like a dashing square...
Fucking leading man status.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely unrecognizable from right now with saggy man titties in his vest and everything.
Hey man, some people age really well, some people don't. You know who did age really well? Robert Redford.
Yeah, definitely.
Paul Newman aged good, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, but Robert Redford, that man aged amazingly. I want to age like Robert Redford. I don't want to age like all the dudes in my family.
Well, I got someone to tell you. It's more likely you're going to age like the guys in your family than age like Robert Redford.
That sucks.
You keep setting your face on fire and drinking tequila every week with me.
Yo. Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah. Robert Redford's probably seen a lot of shit, though.
Oh, yeah. He's
done a lot of shit.
Yeah, he's been in orgies.
Oh, yeah. Multiples.
She just looks like a... She's got that demeanor of like a Stepford wife or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just... And I've got no, you know, I'm under no assumption she's not a good actress. I've seen her in other shit.
I mean, she's working.
Yeah.
You know?
But in this, she just seems very, very fake.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I think this is one of her first films. Or this was definitely the thing where everyone was like, she got a lot of work after this movie, clearly. Wasn't she in the thing with Channing Tatum that's also basically The Notebook?
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't watch it.
Seems like she's in a lot of these movies, though.
Yeah.
Or at least a Rachel McAdams type is.
Well, I mean, yeah. But that's like a Nicholas Sparks thing. If every Nicholas Sparks book that's been turned into a movie had the same dude and the same girl in it,
yes,
you would just be watching the trials and tribulations of the same relationship. Because that's already what we're doing.
That's fair. Man, that's something they should do. Like, Ryan Gosling seems like he might be up for a laugh, especially the kind of the roles he's done in recent years and shit. Like, he's game to kind of make fun of himself. If they could get these guys together to also do, like, scenes from a bunch of other Nicholas Sparks movies.
Yeah. Man, I can't believe we're watching The Notebook.
I can't believe we are only an hour and 10 minutes into watching The Notebook.
Yeah, we still got 45 minutes if we're going to include credits.
Yeah, but we still got to talk during the credits. So.
Yeah, fuck. Yeah. His house is pretty rad, though.
It's a sweet house.
Yeah, fuck that job your dude's got. That is a sweet house.
Mm-hmm. Actually, the house he's built here is the same house they use in The Walking Dead for the hilltop.
Cool.
It's not, but it seems like something that would be a fact, right?
Yeah. Totally. Totally. I just bought that shit hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
Because you normally don't just feed me bullshit. Yeah. Fuck you. Now everything you say is suspect.
But how sweet a trivia fact would that be if that was true?
Yeah.
That house is still there.
Yeah. If you would have given me a little bit, I would have figured that out because this was not shot there.
So wait, the end of the movie is they don't hang out together?
I thought they'd die.
No, I mean, like, when it's, you know, they're the Ryan goes, well, they're the same fucking characters. But wait, so they don't end up together? He goes off with somebody else and has a bunch of kids?
No.
Oh wait, she has Alzheimer's?
He doesn't. She does.
Oh! Who's telling the fucking story?
He is. He's telling her this story.
Okay.
He's telling it to her like it's like a story. He's actually telling her the story of their
life. I am not paying attention to these scenes at all. Yeah. I thought the whole time he had Alzheimer's and she was kind of sad because she was having to tell the story. And admittedly, in the story, she sounds like a bit of a bitch. So it kind of broke her heart to have to own up to that every fucking time.
Yeah.
That makes way more sense now. Okay.
That's why they all look bummed.
Right, because they just did the thing like, hi, Dad, and she doesn't know who the fuck they are. I gotcha. And we still don't know for sure that they're the same people, right, at this point in the movie.
Yeah.
It's only at the end when we get the reveal.
Yeah.
Okay. James Marsden's got a very... leading man in the 50s style face.
Yeah.
You know, that old style kind of actor that you don't see so much anymore. You look at pictures of the actors in the 50s, the leading men, and they're all kind of the same face.
Yeah.
Like, you see the original, not the original, you see the remake of King Kong? Not the new remake, sorry, but the Peter Jackson one.
Mm-hmm.
When they take that, you know, the actor and the actress over to the island to film shit. Like, that guy is super generic 50s actor.
Definitely.
I don't know, maybe it's just like put a cigarette in James Marsden's hands and pull his pants up to his nipples and kind of, they all look the same at that point.
Yeah. It's so pretty. Couldn't afford that now.
That's why it's a good job he didn't sell it for $50,000.
Makes furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you he can sit in it. Not like Mel Gibson and Patriot.
Did he just jump down there or what?
I think so. No, I mean halfway. Some really long oars, bro. Mm-hmm. Those are like comically long. I don't know if it's the aspect ratio, but it looks like those are really long oars.
Like, he did this for you.
Yeah.
The birds are there. That's all. Don't take credit for that shit.
Yay.
You can do this at any park.
Yeah, but how? I mean, you can't sit in the middle of their, like, herd of birds. Flock of birds.
Yeah.
Herd.
Oh, it's a metaphor.
She's like, oh, that was smooth, but it was cold. How the fuck does she wear lipstick that's that red and it doesn't get on her teeth? I can't do that. I don't just walk. I'm talking about like when I'm in clown makeup.
Yeah, please give context.
I don't just walk around with like fucking lipstick on.
That's a weird story to just drop in there.
Yeah, how do you... God. I want to know what kind of lipstick that is, because that shit is hooker red. And just staying on the lips.
I mean,
I get it, because that's what lipstick does. It's supposed to stick to the...
Yeah.
But...
Yeah.
I bet you if she were to drink out of my beer, there wouldn't be a red ring around the mouth.
Yeah. Go on.
Nothing. I was just thinking about...
Were you going to make a blowjob joke or something?
Well, no. As soon as I said that, I'm thinking, well, yeah, because of the lipstick. But then I look at the microphone, I'm like, but... Like, no, I can't just fit it in there. It's weird. Started talking to try and recover it, and then I'm like, nah, it's just getting worse, getting worse. Shut up, it's getting worse. Oh, here comes the rapey part. It's not over. It's never over. I mean, it was for her. She got married.
Yeah. Well, she didn't get married.
Well,
wait.
She's going to.
Yeah. But she's going to get married, but not before she has one last fuck. And all the girls are supposed to be like, oh, yay, they got together, but...
Yeah, it's strange.
Yeah. At least tip it over. And I called you zero times.
Yeah, fuck your bitch ass mother. Oh. That's just weird.
Mm-hmm.
You still could have dove in for a kiss, but don't just grab the broad.
Where did his shirt go?
Yeah.
That waddle. That waddle is so good. I don't think this man's ever taken his pants all the way off. Alright, that's my favorite part of the movie right there. So this is Paul Masson Grand Amber Brandy, 40% by volume.
80 proof, god damn it.
Yeah. I don't know why I picked this, by the way. It's just the only thing I had around. And also, I knew this was kind of like, I don't know, brandy just seems like something they would drink in, like, these kind of, like, this family, you know?
Oh, yeah, cognac?
Yeah, all that kind of fancy shit, so.
I'm sure his dad drinks whiskey.
Yeah.
I'm sure her dad does not.
No.
Cheers.
Cheers, sir. Oh, God. That... Oh. Oh, it just keeps on going.
Horrible. That was horrible.
But it's gone now. It's done.
Yeah. It doesn't have that nasty... But if I drink vodka, I feel like I just blew a Russian for like an hour and a half after. But like, no, I feel fine. I don't have that nasty, long-lasting aftertaste. What?
I'm sorry, that's an interesting go-to metaphor. Considering I know you know some Russians, and I feel like there's a bigger story there. But let's not go into it. That's fine.
Just let me tell you, we cannot hang with the Russians. We cannot drink as well as they can. Even drinking with the petite, like, fucking Russian girls, they'll still drink your ass under the table. And
oh,
then
I have no doubt.
Fucking laugh at you for being a little bitch. I've never felt more emasculated than trying to, like, drink... And
trying,
like,
to keep up with the Russians.
Yeah. Those Russian girls can fucking hang, bro.
Yeah.
I wake up the next day, I feel like shit. Everybody else has been up for 8 hours. I'm like looking in the mirror going, I'm living a lie. What am I doing?
So I don't get, like, I'm just seeing her kiss his beard right there. I don't get how beards can be sexy for women. And I say that having a beard that my wife loves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. Have you grown a beard? You've rocked a beard during the show at some point, right?
Yeah, I don't understand. You've
been clean shaven pretty much since like the last couple of years since we've been recording the show. But I remember when I first met you, I think you had a straight up mohawk and a goatee or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was nice. I liked it because I like being able to. I like just growing everything out and then going to the barbershops and I got my chops and I have like a really like defined like ghetto dude like beard.
Okay.
I like fucking at the angles, but I just don't have the I don't like big scraggly beards. I like beards that dudes actually like stay on top of.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you have fucking clippers and the wherewithal to do that every morning.
Yeah.
Even when I go to the barbershop, within like a week and a half, I stop caring and it goes back to just looking like shit. So I like being clean shaven now.
Okay. I do miss it. Like that one time I shaved back to my bare skin that completely went unnoticed by you, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little refreshing. But I did also, it was kind of fun to touch my chin, you know, like in a pondering fashion and not feel hair down here. It was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
But also if I kept doing it, it would be super easy to just, because this, you know, sculpting where the fucking beard goes and everything. But also from a woman's side, just like, I don't like fucking hair, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get how anybody can like hair when you're trying to be like sensual and shit. Like, it's like, I don't know. It's like somebody rubbing, like, I don't know. You're in a really...
No, it needs to be there. You need to be able to grab it. But if you're going to go down on somebody, you also need to be able to tie it up. It's that simple.
It's like having...
I'm sure John knows this.
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
I'm sure dudes have, like, dudes with long hair have to deal with those same rules.
Definitely.
But I mean, I'm sure the rules are a little different, but...
When I had stubble, like, my wife would complain that it kind of, like, gave, like... tore her up a little bit, like when I'd kiss her neck and shit. Mm-hmm. Kind of like,
oh yeah, the whiskers.
Yeah, but I mean, it's exfoliating, is how I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an exfoliating scrub. But when it's like a beard like that, I don't know. It's kind of like having like a scour pad or something, you know, like a scrubbing pad.
Yeah, but I mean, that also if you like shave.
Like, I'm not trying to get rid of the baked in dust, the baked in dirt and grime from my dishes. I'm just trying to.
Uh-huh.
Get fresh.
If I shave, like, early in the morning, by, like, 7 or 8, I'm at, like, scour pad, like, status, to the mm-hmm. point where, bro, given little kids to, like, little relatives, like, whiskers, you give, like, your nephew a hug, you know, you're like, ah, and then once, like, he gets, like, in the death grip, uh-huh. you just, whiskers, and you rub your 5 o'clock shadow on him, and it's like you're rubbing sandpaper
just
on him.
Draw
it's
blood.
The funniest, yeah, it's funny as fuck. I've also
it's like, you've got this to look forward to.
For 14 more years. Yeah. Was he just wearing JNCOs? Those pants were huge. It looked like he was wearing JNCOs.
You know what's weird? How do we lose hair as we get older? How do we lose hair, like, up here on our top of our heads, but we don't lose hair on our faces or, like, down here on our balls? When does that shit know to stop growing?
Well, they do this thing called laser hair removal, and that can stop it from growing.
But even if you don't do that, it just kind of seems to know at a certain point, like, this is a decent enough, like, mm-hmm. length, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How's it know?
I don't know, man. It's strange.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you gotta do some, like, you definitely do a lot more upkeep on your facial hair and everything than you do on, like, your legs and shit. Like, you know, my looking right here. This shit kind of knows when to stop growing.
Yeah, you're not getting like rogue leg hairs that are like five inches long.
Like,
I have a rogue eyebrow hair that grows like an inch, whereas the rest of my eyebrow hairs grow like normal. And then I have a rogue forehead hair as well. It just sprouts out right here, and it's blonde, and I can barely ever see it until it's already like 3 inches long. I'll be like shaven. You know,
I feel like that's the makings of a unicorn horn. You just got to keep shaving it down and down until it's thick enough to come through.
First time I discovered it, I'm like, why do I have like a blonde curly pube on my forehead? And then I grabbed it, and it was still attached, and I pulled it, and as my fingertip gets like 3 inches away, what is happening? It was, bro, it's fucking crazy. And it always comes back. I don't get it. I pluck it every time, and it always comes back. Who has a giant blonde hair that sprouts out of the center of your forehead? It's not even down, like, where my... If I had a unibrow, and
it's
it was
like
coming,
an eyebrow hair that just got... It's just gone rogue, yeah. Like 2 inches north of it. Like, I'm going to see what's happening up here.
Yeah,
I'm going to settle up camp here.
Yeah, I'm just going to start sprouting blonde hair that's that long all over me. It's the start of, like, an Eli Roth movie.
Well, I mean, you say ruined, but you're still going to marry a really rich, handsome man.
But is she? I mean, do you
think... Well, if she stops overthinking the situation, then yeah.
Well, I mean, if she's even the least bit honest with him and he finds out anything that's going on, well then...
All I'm saying is if she cared about him that much, she would have just dumped him in before she started fucking around.
Mm-hmm.
In the rain.
Yeah. Now...
Also, there's something fishy about running into the guy that you used to date and, like, your first love, going back to the other guy saying nothing happened, and then going back to see the other guy again that ends up with the whole thing in the rain, like, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe don't hang out with him again, like, if his feelings are stirring up. Don't hang out with him again until you've actually resolved shit. The fact that she found him so easily tells me this is not the first time she's come here looking at this guy from afar.
She comes here every Tuesday.
Just to watch him work.
Yeah. She has liked seeing his muscles bulge. That is really weird, though. Like, if I just went to, like, my ex-girlfriend's job and watched her at least once a week... So weird. I'm pretty sure I'd get arrested. It's so weird. Get me the big old ball bag.
Oh, yeah. That's what she calls him.
Oh, boy. Just driving. Yo, if I came to your house and then just decided to flip a Yui in your front yard, like...
Okay, I think we're like 30 minutes away from the closing call now.
Okay, okay.
We're finally getting somewhere with this.
Mm-hmm. Because she carries him around everywhere with her.
There is way fewer than 365 letters there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's a problem. When you've given us a very specific number.
Mm-hmm.
Unless she opened all of her mail and just, these are just the highlights. Because I imagine, you know, 365 letters, you got, there's some padding to do there. Like, a lot of it's just going to be like, hey, thinking of you today.
I mean, maybe, but it's him. I would assume that every single
one. Did he write a fucking sonnet every single day for her?
Every single one is the most epic love letter she'd ever received. He just had to keep topping himself. I wonder if he wrote something awesome and then was like, okay, I can't send this yet. How do I backtrack?
I'm going to hold this off for like 2 months.
Yeah. Hey, man, I do that with Instagram. Oh, that's too good. I'm a hold this.
I'm going to bank this one for later.
Uh-huh. I'm going to bank this for when I ain't got no content.
Like, no, you sit there and you read all of those. Put a lot of time into that. You know how much postage you're holding right there? You read them.
Yeah.
I want to watch you cry while you read my letters. That's right, bully her into a relationship.
Oh, yeah. Man, it's fucked up.
That's right, sir. Double down. It's going great for you so far.
Too real, bro.
You having like a trip right now? Just like gripping the size of the couch. It's too real. I can't take this.
Yeah. Yeah. If he looked at her, just threw over his shoulder, and then ran over and threw in the basement, and they were like meat hooks and shit, I would not be surprised.
Seems like the kind of guy, doesn't it?
I'd be puzzled, would not be surprised.
I'd be like, well, that's a twist. I did not see that. But it makes sense.
Yeah.
You go back and watch the movie a second time, you'd be like, I see all the signs leading up to it. Now, in my movie, okay, does she actually crash? Okay, no, in my movie, she crashes. And then he has to, like, live with himself knowing that those are the last words he said to her.
Yeah.
And that she never read his letters.
Better read them all.
Oh, God. 8 fucking hours later.
Martha's already going to be coming over and going home before she even finishes.
Oh, this is good. She's got them on audiobook as well. So uh-huh. She can listen while she's driving.
It's so sad. Oh, yeah. Look in the mirror. Definitely look like you've been crying.
Well, there's pride in your work, and then there's arrogance. Name dropping like a baller.
That looks fake. Hey, look at me, perma frown. Yeah.
Is he taking a bunch of pills to kill himself at the end?
Ooh. I don't know. You would hope that wasn't the case, but I mean, I could see that.
Right.
I guess.
Again, like, I cannot remember. Apparently, I completely confused the main two characters in this movie, so.
Hey, man, I forgot they even went to World War II, and that's kind of important.
It's a pretty restrained response to finding out that your fiancé cheated on you. You can... Well, I mean, you're giving her the option, I guess. He's taken it remarkably well. I don't know if I would handle it this well. It's not what a guy wants to hear. I don't remember him saying she could move in.
Yeah, that's kind of a...
It's kind of presumptuous on her part.
It's like, bitch, you don't even have a toothbrush cup. God, now I gotta build more closets.
The house was just finished. Does she die at the end of this? Are we about to get like a really sad ending?
I'm pretty sure. Well, I mean, it's about to get really sad in a second. Yeah.
God, Ryan Gosling turned into that guy.
Well, I mean, the casting was all right.
He did not age well.
No. Paul Newman, you are nuts, sir.
Oh, that's really sad. They do this like every week or something.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the end of the Young story? We don't see them again, or what?
Bro, I don't remember. At this point, I would hopefully be too busy fucking. I don't know how I'm supposed to remember the end of this movie. It's the first time I've watched a Notebook with somebody not of the opposite sex.
Like, it's the first time I've ever seen them dance after realizing.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first person you watched this with? I say mine was my ex-girlfriend in Belgium. Who was yours?
I don't remember her name, but I know I was dating her at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds horrible. I didn't mean it like that. Not like there was just a whole bunch of
There's
them,
just so many I can't pick a name out.
Yeah, no, no, no. I was literally meant I was what? It was 2004. What was it, 17 years old when this came out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was way too young to know what the fuck you're supposed to give a shit about. And, like, I just knew my dick worked and, like, and things were happening. And then you become an adult and you're
like, she's a lucky, lucky lady, whoever she is.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I just... Well, like, then you get older and you realize, like, that thing that, like, that drove, like, was your motivation for doing anything for, like, a fucking 4 or 5 year period of your life. When you get older, you don't waste as much time just solely on that one thing, but literally those moments are still the only, like, sliver of happiness that, like, you get in life. You know?
Mm.
I'm so sad.
Now, she's screaming for help, but who is she expecting to come in and help her if not doctors?
Yeah.
You know? Is that old James Garner, right?
Yeah, but those are actual photos of her and her husband with James Garner's face photoshopped on it.
Nice touch. Because everyone knows, like James Garner was a big star back then. Everyone knows what James Garner looked like back in the 50s and 60s. Didn't look like Ryan Gosling. Like, considering we were just watching Ryan Gosling in the 40s and then he turned into James Garner in the 50s, I mean, that's a bit of a jump.
Wait, no, but there's like 30 or 40 years of like, oh yeah, because of the pictures. Okay, yeah.
But, you know, I get what they're going for. It's kind of like why you have young Kurt Russell in Guardians of the Galaxy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that is that touchstone for audiences.
I don't know. Fucking Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis was awesome.
Oh, wait, does he die at the end? Oh, this is going to be really sad knowing that he's dead now. And then she doesn't get to hear this story ever again. How is this a romantic story? People just forget about the part with the old people at the end, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I guess because, yeah, like in your case, you're balls deep at this point.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like people watching The Great Gatsby and then throwing all these Gatsby parties, and you're like, but I guess you kind of missed the whole point of it. Like, I'm pretty sure you missed the entire point of that whole story. Aww.
Oh, okay. So it's not the worst ending it could be.
Uh-huh.
But it's still not great. It's not like he magically finds the cure for Alzheimer's or something. Damn you, Nicholas Sparks. Have you read any of his books or seen any of the other movies?
Nicholas Sparks?
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
God, you really wanted the action, didn't you?
Nah, you just end up... They end up crossing my radar.
Uh-huh. Did he also do The Time Traveler's Wife, or is that someone else?
I don't know. I didn't know about the... Maybe somebody else, but I know he did Knights and Rodanthe and fucking Walk to Remember, and then that other one that you
I think the
earlier.
Guy who directed this also directed A Walk to Remember, which makes sense, but... I've never read a single book, and this is the only one of his movies I've ever seen. And for me, that's enough, honestly. This is not my kind of movie. I mean, I can appreciate it. It's very well done for what it is and everything, but, eh.
Uh-huh. Oh, she knows. Get your old man dick on. Go do that shit.
Finally, we get to some old people fucking. All these young kids going at it. Sick of it.
Yeah, I mean, he's already waddling now, and his pants...
his pants are around his ankles.
Yeah.
He's like, remember this move, baby? Does this jog your memory?
God. Creeper status, bro.
How the fuck do you spell Nicholas Sparks? It sounds like such an obvious... Oh, there he is. Okay. I found some... I'm looking on IMDb and I found some random animation guy.
Mm-hmm.
A Walk to Remember. Let me see. Oh my God! There's a Notebook TV movie coming out apparently.
That is unnecessary.
Yes, it is. Oh no! So a different director. Sorry. Knights of Rodanthe, the last song, Dear John. That's what I was thinking of. Dear John is with Channing Tatum and Amanda Seyfried. All these posters. Look at these. Look at these three posters right here for The Best of Me, Safe Haven, and The Lucky One.
Oh yeah, they're the same ones.
They're all a guy holding a girl by the face, go in and kiss her. And they're okay. And Knights in Rodanthe and The Notebook actually as well, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
that is generic romantic.
Bro, that's the only reason I'm aware of a lot of those movies because I dated a lot of white girls for. Like during that gap of time for releases,
right?
it is definitely if your girl drinks pumpkin spice coffee, she watches Nicholas Sparks movies, and it would behoove
ergo,
you
are going to watch Nicholas Sparks.
Yeah,
movies.
It would behoove you to be able to have a conversation with her about said thing. Just saying, even if you don't fucking like that shit.
Just man up for a day.
Bro, I fucking hate Pokemon. I watched some Pokemon just so I could have a reasonably intelligent discussion with the girl. Like, I literally, not only could I not care less about Pokemon, I literally negatively care about Pokemon. And I went out of my way to just learn some shit so I could just drop
some
knowledge. So you
could hold a conversation.
Yeah. Did not help or work in any way, shape, or form, but I was able to drop some knowledge, just that's not enough. Like, at all, actually.
You tell me the key to a woman's heart is not just memorizing 300 Pokemon?
Nah, bro. Nah, it's a bunch of little things that you would just always assume don't mean shit. They do.
Which one of them's dead?
Both of them, probably. Look at their slack faces.
Suicide pact. Oh my god. Someone's going to think I did this. Cover your ass, lady.
Yeah, yo. It's so sad. What a sad ending.
I can't masturbate to this.
Nah, but hopefully you just popped one off like fucking 30 minutes ago.
Oh shit, we're done.
Time.
Okay, that's the end of the movie.
Yeah,
like,
that's
literally
done.
Two old people dead in a bed and then eight birds flying in slow motion towards the camera makes an ending of a movie, apparently.
How the fuck did Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams not show up on that list, at least closer to the top?
It's order of appearance, and you think of all the old people and the orderlies and shit we saw.
God.
They're playing that game, basically.
Man,
well,
if I was James Garner, I'm sorry, but your old ass that played, like, an extra in a scene right before me does not get billing above me. I'm motherfucking James Garner.
You think he'd have pulled rank on that shit? Should have opened on his face, then.
Yeah, I mean, he shouldn't have to pull rank, because he's James fucking Garner.
He was James Garner.
Yeah. It's so sad.
Yeah, I remember him. I remember hearing about that one. So. All right.
Well, I enjoyed it. It felt weird watching it with you. Also felt weird just sitting here drinking like actual liquor.
It
while
was really
I'm
awkward getting
notebook.
A boner. So I guess.
Oh yeah. I had to do the under the belt tuck. Like fucking an hour and 10 minutes ago.
Doesn't work in pajama bottoms.
No, not at all.
As you can tell. It was interesting to watch it like all the way through. I was clearly not paying attention the first time. Or it's been, I mean, because I think, God, when was I dating that chick? 2000. It was probably like 2004, 2005. It was probably 2005 when I watched this movie, honestly. So... it's been way too fucking long, 12 years, and I've forgotten a lot of important shit about it. It was fun to watch it again. It's not a terribly well-made movie. It is just definitely not a movie that it's not the genre that I would choose to watch. There is a very specific situation, a set of circumstances that would lead to me watching this movie again.
But you can see how it just sucks in white girls like fucking sugar water to flies, right?
Definitely. Definitely. It is,
I don't know how else to put it.
No, I don't. I still don't get how, of all the movies, this is the one where girls go fucking apeshit for. Like in terms of the story and where it goes. Like this is the perfect guy you want, but I mean,
it's like wait, no. You don't want a dude that does this because when I do that shit, I get a fucking restraining order. You want Ryan Gosling?
Yeah, this. Like it, this. Yeah, let's call it what it is. And also, I mean, okay, I could totally see girls wanting a guy like Ryan Gosling in this movie, but I can definitely not see guys wanting a chick like Rachel McAdams in this movie. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Shuns you for 7 years.
How do you want either A, you don't want a girl that shuns you for 7 years, or B, you don't want a girl that gets engaged to you and then just goes off and starts getting dicked down by homeboy.
Yeah, everyone's like focusing on the Rachel McAdams, Ryan Gosling part. Everyone forgets about poor James Marsden in this thing.
Or what if this movie didn't show the beginning and the end? What if this just showed the 7 years that she blew him off?
I think we need a re-edit of this movie.
Yeah, just
see if everyone fucking loves it. Show somebody who's heard about how great The Notebook is, but has never seen The Notebook, and then we'll show them a re-edited version.
Yeah,
that just focuses on how much of a bitch she is to both of these guys.
If your girl dips out for 7 years and then just shows up all up in your shit, you're like, bitch, back the fuck up. Yeah. You know, like I've been doing fine.
And then on the flip side, if your guy if your girl meets you and then spends a considerable number of years with you and then fucks off to another guy she happened to knew before you,
that's fucked up too.
Bitch, bye as well.
Yeah. Like that's not what healthy people do in their relationship. I'm all down for, like, if you want to be in an open relationship and you're both cool with that, that's fine. But none of that was exhibited in this movie in any way, shape, or form.
He was clearly taken by surprise by the fact that she was still hanging out with the guy, and also when she told him that she was...
Oh, yeah. He still thought he was getting married.
Oh, shit. We're good. Anyway. Well, this was good fun.
Yeah.
I'm glad. This was an experience, I gotta say.
Well, thank you for having me, sir.
Thank you for joining me, and one more time, my name is Dave Moslem.
My name's Carl Skeens.
You've joined us for a big gay day. Please see us again next time. Thank you, and good night.